Hey guys, Nick here. This is the second part of our two-part end of 2015 episode. If you didn't listen to part one yet, check iTunes or wherever it is that you get this from and listen to that one first, because we talk about some other stuff. And be sure to stay tuned for the end of the episode when we have a special announcement. So, enjoy.
Kyle, what is your fourth trophy?
My fourth trophy is the goofiest game I played this year called I Am Bread, where you play as different types of bread and you do different things. Like one game mode, you play as this slice of wheat bread and you are traveling across the room in order to toast yourself, either inside like a traditional toaster, or sometimes you'll be in a bathroom, so you need to toast yourself on objects like a radiator or a hairdryer. And if you fall on the ground or flip onto some ants, your edibility will go down, and if your edibility goes down to zero, then you lose the game. It's just a really goofy game where you literally are a piece of bread and you flip and tumble and grip onto the wall to move up certain objects. And
is I Am Bread the Will Smith movie with the dog where they kill the vampires?
Yeah, and it's got multiple endings. The original one wasn't as good as the one that they were actually planning on doing, though.
You mean the one that was
in theaters,
in the book?
Yeah, yeah. Sure. But then there's also like bagel races where you play as a bagel and you kind of roll and you hit checkpoints and do these different things, or you play as a baguette and you just try to break different objects in the level, and it's just ridiculous and weird.
Sir, what are your top five breads?
Rye, pumpernickel.
Sourdough.
Glad you brought up
sourdough.
Yeah. Pretzel.
Yeah, pretzel.
And banana.
I'm very happy that nobody said raisin.
Oh. Yeah.
Raisin's the worst. Raisin's like a negative bread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's garbage. That's not even bread. Yeah. Raisin bread is actually garbage.
Raisin bread is the Birdman of bread.
And last thing, you know, you played Surgeon Simulator a little bit, right?
I did indeed.
Yeah, the controls, it's by the same people who made that game. The controls are just
impossible.
Equally as weird.
Yeah.
So it makes the game just really weird to play. Like, just moving across the room in most games it wouldn't be hard, but in this game it's like hard and goofy and weird, so. Yeah, that'd be the goofiest game I've played this year.
Excellent.
What about you, sir?
Well, it has come time for the best film of the year, and it's mostly every year I just do my favorite film, and because the best film was probably Mad Max, Fury Road. However, I won't talk about it at all. However, yeah, it was probably the best film. My favorite film, it was really, really hard to pick. There was some really great movies that came out this year that I really liked.
I tried to watch it today.
And I came in with a three-way tie.
Oh, you son of a bitch. I knew for sure where you were going.
I already talked about Dope. I couldn't leave it out. If you haven't seen Dope, you need to watch it. It's revolutionary. It's incredible. It's just, I already talked about it, so I won't even get into it. And Creed also, I guess, would be a runner-up of sorts. I thought it was, again, a revolutionary way to do a sequel, just an incredible idea, and it totally lived up to the original. We finally found out who won that third fight, and
Michael B. Jordan is the Michael B. Jordan of acting. I think we should rephrase the Michael Jordan of so-and-so to the Michael B. Jordan.
I think so. Also, that's official now. However, my favorite film of the year, the one that I loved so much, was Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah, that's where I thought you were.
It was so surprisingly good. This is a first-time director who is also a novelist. For that to happen, for a novelist to just direct a movie and have it be really, I mean, it's like a masterpiece of genre bending, it's the best Western I've seen in years.
Did they write it too?
Yeah, he wrote it too.
That's awesome.
S. Craig Zahler, I probably butchered his last name. Kurt Russell was amazing, and everybody was amazing. Matthew Fox was incredible in it.
So
he's probably one of my favorite characters.
Your favorite
movie
of the year was a hyper-violent Western with Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
That wasn't The Hateful Eight.
Yep. And I would arguably say, I was going to get a lot of hate.
How was his mustache in it?
It was the same one. I think actually...
he just walked off one set into the next set.
I kind of have a theory that he took the Bone Tomahawk because he was going to have the facial hair, and that would make sense. And we got a really good movie out of it and a great Kurt Russell performance. I think what amazes me about these two films is the dialogue has been compared to Tarantino. However, where Tarantino is known for his fast dialogue, this is slow. It's really natural. It's wise. It's a totally different take on your traditional Tarantino-esque dialogue. And he really channeled what's great about Tarantino, and yet he changed it. And it's really a beautiful film. I thought it was really wonderfully shot. I thought the cameos were great. Like, David Arquette's in it. Sid Haig's in it. Like, it's just...
David Arquette? Where's he been?
Yeah, really. And there's a great moment in it where... I'm looking at Lily Simmons. She has a scene where she explains what's wrong with the West. And she says, you know, it's not the bad water. It's not how hard it is to get food. It's not even the dangerous natives. It's the idiots. She's like, it's the idiots that make it so hard to live out here. And if there wasn't a better explanation of the West, I don't really know what it would be. So yeah, Bone Tomahawk, that's my movie of the year. Go see it. Watch it many times. All three of those movies, watch a lot. Nick, what's your number four?
My number four trophy is the best story about people who are kidnapped for years on end in a single room. And it's a three-way tie. Number one is...
Females are strong as hell.
Unbreakable. Number one is The Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. I just finished rewatching the show twice this week. Nice. I think I've seen it six or seven times now. And it's just like...
The entire show?
Yeah, because it's only like 11 or 12 episodes. But it's one of those shows
six
that...
Six times?
You can just like... Because I'll sit in bed and just watch it and like do other things on my computer.
I've
I'll read or I'll do
like
work.
Three times.
And I just let it go. And it's one of those very joke-dense shows where every time you watch it, you pick up on something that you didn't notice before. So... One of my favorite new jokes is she answers the phone and she just answers it as Kimmy residence, Kimmy speaking, which I think is hilarious. But it's just about a girl who was kidnapped by a guy in a cult or who was like a weird cult leader. And then they get out and it's her readjusting to life when she's kind of like this 30-year-old or late 20s woman and like a young teenage mindset, this Arrested Development type life, like mindset. But Tina Fey wrote it, and it's very much like her other work, like 30 Rock, similar sensibilities. It's just such a funny show, and Ellie Kemper is incredibly adorable. So she makes the show so worth watching.
Is she in anything else besides
Ellie Kemper?
Bridesmaids?
She was in The Office. For maybe season five and on.
Like, I'm curious like how they picked her for this role, because I wouldn't like
she's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
She was in like The Office for four or five seasons, I think. Mm. Like you said, she's in Bridesmaids. She actually has a really funny part in 21 Jump Street. She's got like bit parts in a lot of other movies, but yeah. she's awesome. Been around, and she's just so funny. And then the male lead in the show, basically just had a tiny part, like a throwaway part on 30 Rock. He was a gay hairdresser named DeFuan. And in this show, he has an even better name, which is Titus Andromedon. But yeah, if you haven't seen Kimmy Schmidt, you got to see it and then see it again and then see it again. It's the best way to watch it. Another story about people who have been trapped in a room for years on end is the movie Room, which...
Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, doggy. Fun fact about the movie Room.
It has nothing to do with The Room.
It's almost as good as The Room. Apparently, the movie Room is supposed to take place in, guess what city?
Akron.
Akron, Ohio.
What?
They never say it explicitly, but apparently you can see Akron insignia, and the script apparently references it being Akron.
Wait, Akron insignia?
Like, you that can see the Akron. Here. You could see the Akron symbol, like, I think maybe on cop cars or something like that,
there's
supposedly.
There's an Akron symbol?
I don't know. But even the director said they shot it in a part of Toronto
that looks like Akron.
Is he like, what does he know about Akron? Is he like from Akron?
No, he's Irish.
Does he hate Akron or something?
Yep.
Who's this guy?
I like how when we're featured in a film, that's our first, like, there's like anger, defensiveness.
Or in Gilmore Girls, they talk about Akron and it's like in a super negative way. And then Inside Llewyn Davis, it's not
they
a,
go to
in,
Akron. It's not a good they place. Don't go to Akron. In Parks and Rec,
it's mentioned. And the guy says, oh, you're from Akron? What do you guys deal cows down there? And also in Needful Things, the devil is from Akron.
What?
We should do an Akron-based
episode. Was it me? The
devil? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. I like in Parks and Rec, they say that Akron, or Pawnee is the Akron of Southwest Indiana.
Yeah, I do remember that.
And then later they say, he says, we're no Akron. We're more like a Toledo, but with your help, we could become a Dayton.
Wait, isn't that bad?
Ohio jokes. But Room is just a fantastic movie. I think that Brie Larson gives the best female performance of the year. Is this woman who was kidnapped in and locked in a room for years on end, and then Jacob Tremblay, who is I think 9 now, he's probably 7 when the movie was made, gives one of the best really lead performances. I guess he's the lead character in this movie, really, as a young child, and he is just fantastic in it. I am dead inside, so I never cry at films, but this is the closest I came to crying at a film this year. And number 3, this is courtesy of Themo, because I made this joke to him earlier, and he's like, oh, you gotta add a third one, and it is the documentary Wolfpack, which I don't know if we've talked about on the show yet, but Wolfpack is a documentary about these
I
kids.
You guys have talked about it.
Okay.
I think.
Just real briefly, it's on Netflix now. These kids who have a very, very overbearing and controlling father who essentially doesn't let them leave the house. So they just kind of immerse themselves in film. And it's their relationship with him that is incredibly fucked up, but also their relationship to movies, which is endearing and fascinating. So those 3. I'll get my trophy. Kyle, what is your 5th and final trophy?
My 5th and final trophy. Honorable mention, favorite video game of the year is The Witcher 3, in case any of our listeners are actually curious as to what I think is the best game of the year. But my trophy goes to the most fun I had this year not consuming media, so not watching TV shows, not watching movies, not playing video games. And that would be making our movie.
You're blowing it up. I was gonna save it for later, but let's get into it.
Yeah, sure.
I was actually saving it because when you mentioned the Jinx, there's actually a line of dialogue or monologue, I guess, in the script that is a Jinx allusion.
Nice.
Which I won't spoil.
So we were making a movie. Don't Look Into the Sun or something like that. What's it called?
Oh, God.
To Die With the Sun.
Yeah, that's it. Directed by Nick, shot by me and Nick, starring Leah, our sister, co-starring Sir. Co-directed and by a serious Themo, who is like... It's funny seeing him on a set because... He's directing Leah, and he, like, as goofy as he is on our show, he was like, I don't know, oddly serious, but it's kind of funny when he's trying to get her to act in certain ways.
He was like reining it in.
Yeah, I like that he's like 2 different people. Serious Themo.
It's like the polar opposites, but it wasn't
serious like the way you think of a director as like Kubrick or Hitchcock being serious. It was more like mindful, whereas the rest of us are like, and just like go over here and
look to your pictures, left a little bit, maybe a little higher. He's like, think about this or like other things, and it was really cool. But I mean, the whole movie's shot in Akron, so we get to ride around, see different like some pretty messed up parts of the city and run down areas. It's a post-apocalyptic movie, and yeah. I'm assuming we'll get it on our Facebook page or Twitter at some point when it goes up.
Yeah, I've got a teaser for it that I made and put on Vimeo. That's just like 30 seconds, like kind of like a teaser trailer.
Dude, let me get that link.
Yeah,
I will give you that link.
Written by Nick, also.
But if you want to see it, I tried like figuring out a way to search for it on Google just because it would be easier. So we'll put a link in the show notes. But if you want a direct link, it's vimeo.com/.
It's going to be a bunch of numbers.
Get a pen.
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
Well, /15.
Well, you probably couldn't. You probably.
It's more than 15. It's 15, 10, 78, 58,
9. Oh, my God.
That is vimeo.com/15, 10. 78, 58.
Those are your Powerball numbers, folks.
I was gonna say, folks, I want an infomercial where instead of saying the phone number, they say it like in double digits, like that.
Yeah.
Like, and that is that number is
well, the zero in the middle of it kind of like fucks my shit up. But yeah,
it's, I'm really looking forward to this film. It's one, one of the films I'm most looking forward to in 2016.
That's how I was gonna set it up. The thing I was looking forward to most in 2016. But it's a short film that we made, and since we don't really have like the most expertise in terms of like, I mean, Kyle went to film school and knows how to shoot things, but I don't think any of us really know sound or things like that.
The toughest part is actually the money and like the the production, but like I feel like we're gonna get it together, and then we're gonna have a hard time figuring out like the business side of it.
Yeah, but we'll figure that out.
Well, and also music, copywriting, stuff like that. Like, there's a lot of
music that
stuff.
We have in it is all free, like open source music, which we did purposely. So, basically, real simply, the movie is kind of based on. I talked about it on episode 100
as being your favorite movie of all time.
Maybe not based on, but inspired by La Jetée. So, we kind of. In order to make it possible to make a movie without having to spend tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars.
They spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on that movie?
Probably. I mean, movies are expensive for, like... That was a long time ago. I don't know how much...
It's pictures.
Yeah, so it's shot with a similar look to La Jetée. Still photographs, very grainy. Monologue over it, but it's
a little less sci-fi-y and more
post-apocalyptic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's dealing probably with the one of the biggest issues of our times.
Yeah.
Zombies.
Lots of. I threw in a lot of pop culture references, though, like
inside jokes, not running gags.
Not running gags. Mm.
There's references to pop culture and to like current events too.
Yeah. Yep. So I'm. I
had a lot of fun too.
I agree. It was incredibly fun, and
jumping on and off the Y Bridge in Akron they don't call it the Y Bridge anymore.
We call it the Y Bridge. Yeah. If you're from Akron, you call it the Y Bridge.
Yeah, or the Suicide Bridge.
Yeah.
What do they call it now?
It's like the All American Bridge or something. Oh, they changed it to something.
Nobody calls it that.
The Stars and Stripes Bridge.
The Captain America Bridge.
It's shaped like a fucking Y.
Yeah.
It is the Y Bridge. Yeah, doing it is like one of the funnest things I've ever done, and I like as soon as this is done, or probably
you guys were already thinking about
even
a new idea.
Even before this is done, I have like all these other ideas. I want to make more. Like
I've been thinking about that a lot this year. Yeah. I'm just like, man, like I can't wait to do more of this.
Yeah, yeah, there's more to be done. I have more to say. None of it meaningful or relevant or important, but I want to say it.
Sweet. And you're going to listen to it.
Yeah. You fuckers are going to listen to it. So check out that Vimeo. And sometime later this year, we're almost done with all of the principal photography. We have like maybe another hour's worth of crap to shoot.
We're probably about 40% of the way done with the movie, I'd say. 30%.
Yeah, it's all just going to be
recording,
editing, sound design
is going to be a lot.
Editing, it's going to take a lot of editing. You want to get started on that?
Sure.
Listeners, get on Kyle to start so that we can...
Well, why don't you get me the footage and then I can start.
Listeners, get on Nick to get Kyle the footage.
I didn't realize this was on me. All right.
Sir, what would be your last trophy?
I was pretty busy this past year. I was too busy, really. And usually it's like best documentary is somewhere in there. I just couldn't see any hardly. So I went with my go-to trophy, and that is best sandwich. Just the other day, actually, I had this great turkey salad sandwich that I made. I had some
turkey salad.
Yeah, and I'm going to go ahead and just give the listeners
the recipes.
So
you're giving yourself a trophy.
I'm giving sort of my. It's more to the sandwich because I didn't know.
Because honestly,
it would be
Kyle
good.
Just gave us a trophy too.
All right, yeah, I'm giving myself one. And you're going to need a frozen honeysuckle white young turkey, all natural. And you can get those. It's the blue and silver one. And then you're going to need the like best bread that I've had recently. Silver Hills Big 16. It's like a high fiber health bread. It's got like 16 different seeds in it. It's non-GMO, vegan, sprouted whole grains, all that good stuff. And then you're going to need some mayonnaise, real mayonnaise. You're going to take 2 cups of your turkey, 1/2 cup of mayonnaise. You're going to sprinkle some celery salt, fresh black pepper, sea salt, and fresh garlic. And you're going to toast.
You mince the garlic? Or?
Yeah, you're going to want it minced. You're going to want it minced. For the bread, I thought it was better when I kind of toasted it. And I toasted it like it was a grilled sandwich. And then I just let my bread cool off.
Nice.
And then I put the turkey salad on. And it was delicious. I had some fresh lettuce there, too. So, yeah, that was my favorite sandwich of 2016 or 2015. I'm thinking ahead.
It's going to
have it good.
Okay, things are looking up for
Okay,
us.
Nick, yeah. Before we end his segment, I'm gonna list some optional chicken/turkey salad ingredients. You say yay or nay as to whether they would be... They would make your chicken or turkey salad better.
Is this all a one-off, or am I, like... If you add cumin,
will it make it better?
No. Okay.
Or will it make it worse?
Are we dealing with this specific recipe because the celery salt?
What am I?
Are we dealing with the generic salad?
I'm thinking just a regular chicken salad.
All right. I'll ask a follow up once we kind of get there.
Okay. I think I got 3 off the top of my head.
All right.
Walnuts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Celery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And grapes.
Sometimes. It depends. Sometimes you've got your sweet salad. Like if you put cranberries, walnuts, maybe some grapes, then you're good. With mine, I mean, I forgot to mention there was fresh onion and fresh celery in it. And I think the grapes with that celery salt and the celery, it would be like, no.
Here's the thing about grapes is grapes are just fresh raisins.
They are.
Yeah,
and raisins don't belong in any salad anywhere.
Yeah, not
in bread, not in salad.
Yeah, not really a fan of the grapes.
I look at raisins and grapes. It's kind of like when you had the coca leaf that the Aztecs used to use, and it was natural. It was, you know, it just kind of gave you a caffeine type high. And then you have highly processed cocaine. Those are two totally different things. And mankind's tampering. It's the same with the grape. You had this fine, and then to leave it in the sun, it's neglectful. It's abusive. Yeah. And it's abusive to
people.
They
start singing Motown songs.
They have to move to California. I mean, the rent out there.
I know.
Jeez.
The cost of living is high, but the pay is lower.
But the pay is lower.
What's the deal with California raisins? They're not Californian.
They're not raisins.
So, yeah. Best sandwich.
Sweet.
Yep. Nick, what's your number one trophy if you have a backup?
It is best picture of the year, and I'm just going to go from... I'm going to count them down. Number 10 is Room.
You have 10?
No, I'm counting down where it's a process. So my 10th favorite movie of the year is Room. Number 9 is Hateful Eight. Number 8 is Spotlight. Number... What's after? 7 is Mad Max. Number 6 is Victoria. Number 5 is World of Tomorrow. Number 4 is Inside Out. Number 3 is Carol. Number 2 is Phoenix. And number 1 is a science fiction film involving Oscar Isaac and
Star Wars.
Donald Gleason. What's the name of that picture, Kyle?
Star Wars!
Nope. It is Ex Machina. It is just a fantastic little movie. It's kind of...
Little is the best way to describe it.
It is little because it all takes place in one setting, even though it's visually sumptuous. And there are some outdoor scenes that are gorgeous. it's basically a sci-fi movie about a guy who meets a robot, and things go from there.
He wants some robot loving.
I would too. Alicia Vikander is also visually sumptuous. Yeah. But it's just fantastic performances. The music in it is amazing. The director is a first-time director named Alex Garland, who also wrote it. You may know him as the writer from 28 Days Later, which is a show favorite. It's just a terrific movie, and I think what I like most about the movie is I've seen it twice, and I think it's really up in the air as to whether the ending is happy or sad. You can't, and there are a couple other questions I have that I don't want to ask, because even asking them will kind of spoil a little bit about the movie. But the movie raises all these philosophical questions about what it is to exist, and questions about identity. And if you look at my favorite movies of the last 2 years, Her and Under the Skin, apparently that's a thing that I'm real into that I didn't realize until recently.
Yeah.
This is like your therapy. This is traditional American therapy. Just watch movies.
Yeah, that's my bag, is the philosophical sci-fi film. Apparently. And I guess we kind of wrote one and are making one this year, To Die with the Sun.
2016. A big reveal will be that Nick is a replicant.
Yeah.
Yep. Roy Batty just had his Incept day. Yeah.
So yesterday. Shout out to Roy Batty.
Yeah.
He's seen things.
Too soon. You wouldn't believe. I've seen things.
I think the reason that you like Ex Machina so much is that it almost plays like a long, short movie. Like, it feels like a short.
Yeah, because it's all... Basically, you can do it as a play. Honestly, like, it's all in one location. It's very stripped down, and yet it's also got high tech aspects to it, since she's a robot. It's got some cool stuff in it.
But like, how kinda many? I feel like a lot of the big blockbusters that they've come out this year, they don't have this sort of open ended ending that you like. I think that's short film.
I love the ending to this film. I love one of my favorite, maybe the best scene of the year, is a dance scene in this movie. You remember what I'm talking about? That just comes out of nowhere, and it makes no sense really within the context of the film, but it's just so Oscar Isaac can do anything.
Oscar Isaac was a unique cast, I think.
Is not only is Oscar Isaac one of the best actors around working today, I think he's also probably my favorite singer working right now. Between his songs on the 10 Year soundtrack and the Inside Llewyn Davis soundtrack. The man's unstoppable.
He is.
Some might say that Alicia Vikander's character is a machine, but I think Oscar Isaac
and supposedly he's a machine. He's the greatest pilot the Rebels have ever seen.
Spoilers.
The Resistance. Sorry. The Resistance.
So that is my favorite sci-fi movie of the year, starring Oscar Isaac and Mr. D. Gleason. So we were talking earlier in the show about what I want to call the Golden Tropy, which is one award that we give as a show. This is we'll call it the Palme d'Or of On the Tropes podcast. I did that on purpose get Kyle to retch. But we've been around a couple years, and we've never given out the Golden Tropy before.
Yeah, this is new.
So I say we do it in
retrospect. Even to me and Kyle.
I don't know where we're going with this.
Yeah, I don't know.
So I say we do it in retrospect. You guys can shut me down or no. Last year, I think, probably undebatably, the thing, and it doesn't need to necessarily be the best thing, but the thing that we kind of latched onto is a show that we all liked, and we all were able to talk about a lot and had a lot of tropes and things that we could kind of get into.
So Rick and Morty.
I think last year it had to have been Snowpiercer, right?
I would agree.
We reviewed it on the show. We all loved it. I think you said it was your favorite movie of the year. Yeah. It was in my top 10 for sure. There's just so much to dissect in that show, in that film. Plus we're doing it retroactively, so I don't want to go through every other thing that we talked about the entire year.
Breaking Bad wasn't for 2014.
I don't know when Breaking Bad ended.
I'm just, that's the only other thing, because I know that
it was 2013.
Did it end it?
Yeah, okay. It ended in 2013. So, the trophy for 2013 in retrospect, should we give it to Breaking Bad? The other,
I can't think of anything else.
The other nominee I was going to give
is Pacific Rim. Come out,
Pacific Rim or Gravity?
I could give it to Gravity. Too pretentious.
But I think Breaking Bad is the way to go.
Sweet.
I'll say that's okay. Yeah.
And I think this year we got to give it to Rick and Morty.
I think I have to agree with that, just because I think Kyle pointed out some really strong points. Are you a friend? Just that, like, the second season, it was really, it totally lived up to the show, and it actually made the show better.
Yeah.
And it did it in such a way that, like, I really had no confidence that the second season would be, as much as I love the first one, I just didn't think they could keep it up. It's so hard to do.
And the sci-fi in the show is just so good.
And I love how, like, half the things they talk about are just, they almost sound like gibberish. Like, one of my favorite lines, I think it might actually be in the first season, but they do this constantly where they're like, they're having that big party and they're like, this is why you never invite a schlim schlam to a gerbil gobble party. And it's like, they're just clearly just making up things, but it's hilarious. And
they kind of come back to some of that stuff too.
Well, they had the cable episode, and like how one of my friends has a theory that they record, you know, like I forget what the episodes are actually called, but when Rick has that cable box that he can get into any dimension. My friend has a theory that they actually record all of those segments like drunk or high, because like they're just so ridiculous.
I was thinking,
come get some fake doors.
They bring it back in season two, and that was
awkwardly shown, but it's like hilarious.
Well, the TV show, I was thinking about it, because the TV shows they show, it sounds like the people who are in those shows are kind of exhausted and are like, oh, I don't want to do this bit. All right, like, just hit record and I'll say the lines.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure it's not literally that. It's recorded to sound like that. Like, these people just don't want to be doing this. It's just, I mean, there are so many, we talked about it on the last episode we did, Cerebus Syndrome. This show hits that trope. It breaks the fourth wall constantly. Oh, yeah.
Stephen Colbert's cameo in it, his episode. Unbelievable.
Which one was it?
That's the one where they travel into the pocket, the engine universe.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. I mean, just such... And that's, again, a darker turn that really makes you think about a lot of stuff.
When the ship needs to protect Summer.
Oh, my
Summer.
God.
And it uses not lethal force that on that
incredible.
Guy.
It just Summer, paralyzes. Safe. And the child, when he brings the guys.
Oh, my God. It's so...
That was so dumb.
But yeah, I was talking to Ian about it at lunch, and he's like, yeah, I like the first season so much better. And I was like, I called him out, and I was like, I think you're kind of like sensitive or something, because like the second season is way more, like, it affected me way more. Like, there's moments where I was just like, oh my gosh.
The themes they tackle in it are really surprising, because like, you have to keep watching these characters, and like the memories episode, there's some moments in that where you're like, wow. It changes how you think about at least one or two central characters. Like,
well, not to spoil that episode, but the way that they figure out who's real and who isn't, it's kind of depressing.
Oh, it's extremely depressing. And it's like, it leads to some dark moments in that show. Like, it's really good.
Yeah. So I think in terms of golden tropies.
Yeah. One of the best things about this show is that if you go to Adult Swim, you can see all of them.
Yeah.
Just
unbelievable.
Like, immediately, which is awesome.
Anything else, themes of the year that you guys think are important? Anything you want to hit on? Any worst of the years?
Here's Pixels.
Pixels was quite horrible. Was kind of expectedly, but
Tony Hawk Pro Skater 5 was
I've heard
god
that.
Awful.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I really hated there's a commercial for a car, and I don't know what car it is, but whatever it is, I'm going to find out, and I'm never going to buy this car. It's a family driving like on vacation or some shit. And
is it Star Wars related?
No, it's like some dumb kid is playing on their phone, and it like makes a beeps and boops that kind of sound like the song Buddy Holly by Weezer.
And they all start singing together.
I want it. I hope
oh,
that.
Oh, God, no.
Ugh, I hope that car ended up in flames.
I remember that.
I hope
commercial.
That's the car from Gang Tapes.
And you know what the worst part is? Is they fucking edit part of the lines because it's, what's with these homies dissing my girl? Why do they got a front? And then they cut out the lines. What did we ever do to this guy to make him so violent?
Yeah.
You know what they did? You know what made them so violent? Is seeing that commercial every five fucking minutes when you try to watch Community's most recent season on Yahoo.com. Fuck you, Yahoo. And fuck you, whoever made that car. Yeah.
Hulu commercials are pretty irritating, too. Just that whole thing. You see the same one.
Yeah, that's why, honestly, if you watch TV on Hulu, it's worth paying the extra $4 a month.
I was thinking about it. Because I did get it. Like, I did the trial like you suggested. Yeah, it's been worth it.
If you watch enough, I was going to actually do the math to see, like, how much you would need to make per hour or how much you would need to watch per month for it to be cost-effective to pay for it. But honestly, just in terms of sanity, not seeing the same commercial every 5 minutes is totally worth it, I think.
I think my worst of the year, I don't know. It's hard to say. All I can really say is, God, get it together, America.
Yep.
That's. Jeez. I mean, there's so much to choose from. Just
get it together before Sir starts rah-rahing at the Olympics so he doesn't have to.
Yeah, I don't want to have to.
Otherwise,
go there.
He's going
to
be real depressed.
Yeah, just get it together. America, read some books, please. Read some books, some history books, and start paying attention to the goddamn documentaries you watch, Generation Y. You can't just watch a documentary and then forget about it.
I think what Sir's trying to say is he wants to make America great again.
Yeah.
Is that the way you would phrase it? Is that the slogan you would use?
I don't know if I could really say what my slogan would be on on this recording. So
excellent. Yeah. A couple other things I wanted to point out is...
That's a lengthy episode.
Yeah,
I like it.
Yeah, I like it.
A couple themes of the year. When you look at my top 10, and even like I have some honorable mentions, almost all of them are
really obscure?
No, are female-centric movies. Like Ex Machina, it's basically about a girl. Phoenix, the main character is a girl. Carol is about a relationship between... two women. Inside Out is girls inside the head of a girl. World of Tomorrow is only girls. Victoria is about Victoria. I could go on. Mad Max Fury Road. Main character is not Mad Max. It is Imperator Furiosa. Number 8, Spotlight. Not really about a girl. Number 9, Hateful Eight. Kind of bumped out The Assassin, which is about a girl. And The Room. No. Room. Sorry. About a girl. And then also almost made my list, but Brooklyn, about a girl. Amy, about Amy Winehouse. Tangerine, about transgender prostitutes, but that's a good movie, which is on Netflix now. It's shot on an iPhone.
What?
Yep.
What?
So that's the other thing I want to talk about. Perfect transition. Nick, thank you.
iPhones?
No, there were a lot of like
technical times
this year. No, just like cool technological things that people did. Like World of Tomorrow, he recorded his niece and used that as the dialogue. Tangerine was shot on an iPhone. Victoria was done all in one take. And those are things that you couldn't even do like 20 years ago because they didn't have digital and they didn't have iPhones and they didn't have nieces.
Did you sit in the seats at the movie when we went to see Hateful Eight, the D-Box?
You're a D-Box.
I know. It's a stupid name, but have you heard of D-Box?
Are those the shaky pants ones?
Yeah, the shaky seats. Mike was showing me them, and they're kind of interesting. The tickets are going to be super expensive, but that's another like sort of technological thing that they're doing, and he really wants to see Star Wars in that sort of format.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot of cool stuff out there, and I mean basically like part of our mindset for making the movie that we're making is how can we make a movie and actually get it done.
Yeah,
like we engineered it to be a movie that we could start and finish,
and also helps that we know some people that have made movies that have gotten into things, and we're like, we can do better. Mm.
I watch a lot of Shark Tank, and you know Barbara Corcoran, she's like the real estate agent on there.
She plays a shark,
and she had some, I guess, her advice like to salesmen. She's like, the difference between a $40,000 a year salesman and a $1.6 million or $2 million a year salesman is insecurity. She was like, somebody who has something to prove, she's like, I'll hire that person anytime and time and time again, they show that they're better than who I could have hired. Yep. Sometimes you just got to have one good enemy, one good thing. You got to show people, you know, you got to have some good haters. Like, just dig deep, listeners. Find that thing you really hate and prove it wrong.
I believe it was the philosopher Taylor Swift who said, haters going to hate, hate, hate.
Hate, hate.
Hate, hate.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 Chainz allegedly, according to him, has been a victim of hate. Yeah. Said money, he's sticking to it. Hate, he's been a victim to it.
Getting deep on this episode.
Yeah.
2015, anybody else have anything to say about it?
I don't really have anything to say about it. Other than looking forward to 2016.
Yeah.
I think the baton was strong. It's a lot to live up to from 2015. Yeah. A lot of movies to live up to.
I'm ready to kick 2016 right in the face. Let's just start off strong. Do some face kicking.
Yeah.
Yep. You guys know where to find the show, right? You downloaded it.
Yep.
The internet.
You're listening to us somewhere.
The internet.com.
Internet.com.
That is weird that we promote where to listen to us when people are clearly listening to us somehow.
Yeah. It's pretty weird. Facebook.com/onthetropes. onthetropes@gmail.com. Yeah, tell all your friends. Tell all your friends to
hide your kids. Hide your wife.
Hide your kids.
Yeah, and my 2016 resolution is bringing back the Facebook page.
Yeah.
Yeah. To its former glory.
Your Facebook, I mean, no, not your New Year's resolution, Jesus. Your New Year's resolution should be to go into iTunes, search for On the Tropes, give us 2 to 5 stars. And write a little review.
And we'll wrap it.
Yep. And then go to vimeo.com/15107858. That is the teaser trailer for 2016's To Die with the Sun.
Don't look into the sun.
Don't confuse people.
They'll be like, this is To Die with the Sun. That's not the same thing that Kyle said
Click.
Before.
So Nelly doesn't important. Like that title because she said it sounds like a bad James Bond movie title. And I'm like,
it actually does.
Sounds like a good James Bond movie.
That's title. What I said. I said it sounds like I would watch the shit out of that James Bond movie. Yeah. It sounds like some sexy Pierce Brosnan, like he's going to punch people in the neck movie.
With Michelle Yeoh. Yeah. Her yeah. return.
Yeah.
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 Wubba lubba dub dub. As always, I've been your host, Nick.
I'm Sir.
And Kyle.
And join us again next week.
On the Tropes. Morty.
Morty, you gotta turn the boots on, Morty.
Come get some fake doors.
I'm Mr. Meeseeks.
I'm Mr. Meeseeks.
Squanch.
Is Mr. Meeseeks on anybody's list for Alien Invasion?
Oh my god.
No. I was thinking.